I'll give you a little bit of an idea of how I got into this work. I would like to thank the collaborators who have worked with me on this project, including Buzma, who is an MPH student who did a lot of this work with me, Jason Fletcher, who is our statistician, and unfortunately has been without electricity over the last couple of days, so hopefully my statistics are on point, but if you have questions, I will try to answer them as best I can, and Renee Shanker, who really helped with a lot of the implementation. These are disclosures, not necessarily financial, although I am employed by Montefiore and Einstein. This project was funded in part by a grant from Laurier M. Tisch Illumination Fund, although the money goes to a nonprofit that I volunteer with, so I don't have any direct financial benefit. These are the objectives for the talk, the things that I hope that you'll come away with. So let's do an overview. I'm going to go back and start from what was the reason for this project to begin with in terms of New York City, and particularly the South Bronx, where I see patients at a community health center as a family doctor. Talk about the fruit and vegetable environment and this green cart program, which some of you may or may not be familiar with. And then talk about Locarto, which is the tool that I developed with grant funding for doing geolocation and promotion of the carts that sell fruits and vegetables in underserved neighborhoods. Then I'll get into some of the stats, the interrupted time series analysis that we've been trying out as a way of evaluating whether the promotion is actually working, and wrap up after that. So this is a typical picture of a green cart in New York City. And I will go back a second and just talk about what's going on in the neighborhood around my clinic and in many areas of the city, which probably many of you will be familiar with from your own work in different underserved neighborhoods. This is a block away from my clinic. There's still a lot of vacant lots in the neighborhood. The economy was hit particularly hard by the recession. You can see that the poverty rate in the South Bronx is over 30% from that green arrow. And you can see what the food offerings are within a couple blocks of my clinic. Delis and bodegas, which have very poor access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Burger places, Dunkin' Donuts with a dentist right upstairs, just so you can go from one to the other easily. And this has been borne out by the research that the city does. The Department of Health provides these beautiful atlases now every year in terms of access to fruits and vegetables. And you can see that in the South Bronx, which has the larger circles, about a third of people are more than a 10-minute walk from produce. And this is an area with very low car ownership. So also about one in five people ate no fruits or vegetables in the prior day in the area where my clinic is. You can see this tracks pretty well with diabetes and obesity across the city, which is not that surprising. And that's why I got interested in this new program that was generated through legislative change in 2008. I was even involved in lobbying around the legislation back then. It's a program that really is at the intersection of food, work, and health, which is why I'm really interested in it, because a lot of these neighborhoods, a lot of the problem is that they're also are in need of economic development and job opportunities. So the carts, you can see an example of one here. This one actually, I think, has either moved or gone out of business because it's not actually at this location, but there's another one a couple blocks away from our clinic that's still serviceable. They launched about 1,000 permits over the course of 2 years, and there are only 300 or 400 vendors actually out on the street at any one time because of the challenges of doing the work, and the startup was not as smooth as they expected. You can see that the outline in green is where the carts are allowed, which is most of the Bronx, and it was trying to replicate the areas where people aren't really eating fruits and vegetables that much. Some of the challenges, and this is a figure from a paper that I published with colleagues at Montefiore and Einstein and Lehman around the distribution of the carts in the Bronx. There are low initial sales, and so there's a lot of vendor turnover. They may give up their permits, and then it could be a year process for that permit to make its way back out on the market and somebody to start a new cart. There's vendor clumping. They see somebody who's successful, and they go to the same area, and that actually drives down their prices and revenue to some extent. And then it also leaves a lot of areas that still need access without access. So these were kind of the reasons behind thinking that it would be helpful to develop some kind of mapping tool you know, to really say, where are these carts? Because the carts can move from day to day, and you could really never know where they are. They can't require them to stay in a particular place, and they can't require them to carry GPS locators or any of that stuff. They're independent business people, really, so they can move. If they're not doing very well in a particular location, they can go somewhere else. So probably a lot of you are familiar with this data, but the reason we went with a text message-based system is because cell phones, as everybody knows, they're ubiquitous these days. And text message use is even more common among low-income and minority communities, according to Pew data, I think the most recent data from 2010. That's why we haven't really gone with a smartphone app, because of the population we're trying to reach. Obviously, this will change over the next few years, but for now, text messaging still seems to be the dominant thing in terms of the broadest access. There are some preliminary studies that are showing that text messaging seems to be effective in affecting behavior. So I've actually had students canvassing pretty much block by block, registering vendors. They go out with laptops with wireless access and sign vendors up after explaining to them what the program means. So that's a little bit of a labor-intensive and tricky part, but once they're registered, the vendors, all they need is their cell phone because their number is registered in the system. Whenever they move their cart, they can just text message in either a street address or a street corner, and it moves their flag on the map. And so it's basically on a Google Maps platform. You can go and visit it on the website. It's up online right now. It has a bunch of different features, like, you can actually review the vendors and stuff like that if you want to. This work, as I mentioned before, is actually supported through a street vendor project, which is part of the Urban Justice Center. It's a nonprofit that I work with. So shoppers, they're not registered in the system, and they never have to register in the system. All they need is their cell phone and the number to text message into. So they can text message in their address, and they'll get back an answer with the three nearest vendors. So it's relatively easy to access. Shoppers can also go on the website. So the work that we did in terms of promotion was we have an existing program of cooking demonstrations in our network of around 20 community health centers across the Bronx. We started with three community health centers where we were doing the promotion and distributed flyers and business cards. And the promotional periods were from February to April of this year, and then a different promotional period from June to August. So let's talk a little bit about the evaluation. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, Interrupted Time Series looks at comparisons of the slope and also the mean value before and after implementation of an intervention. And you basically compare the slope during the intervention to what you would expect if the intervention hadn't happened. So you think that the line would basically just continue in the same direction. I'm not going to get into all these stats, but for those of you who are more familiar, and hopefully this is roughly correct, one of the things you want to make sure is that there's not autocorrelation. So you want to be sure that it's not just a trend that's continuing based on the previous day's values, because you want to see that what you're doing is actually having some effect. So you run a bunch of statistics to judge for that. And then out of the AREMA logistic regression, you evaluate whether the independent variables that you've put into the system are retained as predictors. In this case, we looked at sort of an intervention period, so we broke it into six-month blocks in terms of the two different intervention periods with the really concentrated cooking demonstrations for a few months in the middle of each period, and then we also looked at whether there was a cooking demonstration on a particular day, so we ran both of those variables. We got our data. We used Upside Wireless for our text message service, which has its pros and cons, but Google, and it's very hard to get data out of. You have to sort of manually extract it, which is really annoying. But Google Analytics is a dream by comparison. You can download your Excel spreadsheet. We looked at unique visitors because we didn't want to muddy the waters by looking at repeat traffic. This is a view of the website data. You can see very low traffic, you know, like 3 to 5 people per day looking at the website. This period of where we were actually were doing web promotion, you can see there are some more spikes, and then this period we were only doing text message promotion. The reason we pulled back from the web promotion is because a lot of the audience, when we informally surveyed them during the cooking demonstrations, they validated sort of the Pew findings and said really didn't have home computer access or even necessarily access at work or easy access, like they'd have to go to a public library, which wasn't necessarily that accessible. Text messages, we started out with gift card raffles. which didn't actually work as well as giving away these cookbooks. And so you can see there's still pretty low-level traffic in terms of the text messages, but it was more consistent. So the analysis I kind of talked about already, we used SPSS and ARIMA for the logistic regression. You can see in terms of our text message data, we had very little data, so this is very much still a pilot phase. But there was autocorrelation in this first variable, and also this young box Q is significant, which means that there's autocorrelation, which is bad. but the cooking demonstrations did pop out as a significant predictor. For the web, the model worked better, and the intervention period itself came out as a predictor. So what did that mean? So it looks like the web and possibly the text message traffic was correlated with the intervention period of the cooking demonstration. The web is more promising, and obviously we have more data. So the interrupted time series analysis provides, assuming you have the statistical support, but it's actually a really short program in SPSS, and I'm happy to share it with people. The interrupted time series analysis provides straightforward statistical tool for evaluating the promotional impact. And these things which, when you look at that spread of data, is sort of imperceptibly small change for very early in a pilot phase, you can actually already start to see significant changes. So it's good for when you're just getting off the ground. And this is my opinion about it, is that in a very early phase, you can already start to see whether your promotional efforts are working or not, whether you have to change course. And it's less of sort of a hunch. The autocorrelation that we saw in the text message was probably mostly due to not having enough data points. We were really underpowered in terms of the interrupted time series analysis. We ran a simulation with a lot more data points, and the autocorrelation went away. So I think we just need to continue this again next year when we have more summer students. And the lack of control group, and obviously there are a lot of different variables that go into how the cooking demonstrations went and all that kind of stuff, you'll never know. So, I mean, that's one of the drawbacks, but this is sort of a, you know, quick and dirty way of looking at website and text message traffic data. So we're hoping to scale up promotion. I am the co-director of medical student education and family medicine, and we have students going out to the clinic sites and doing community projects, and they're there twice a week all the way through the year. So I'm hoping to integrate promotion of this into the work that they're doing in promoting healthy eating at the clinic sites. And then we've also started doing outreach to community organizations throughout the Bronx to actually train the staff in showing the map to their clients, because at least the staff have web access and they would be able to find the nearest cart with their clients. These are my references, and this is my contact information. Thank you. Sure.
I'm a little slow on the update. So your outcome variable was a text message from the shopper when they shopped at one of these carts.
Right. So no, unfortunately, it's only testing whether they're using the system or not. So I don't know. That's like, right. That would be another year or two down the road. I mean, we've been doing this research on a shoestring, but it's only looking at whether they're using the service and not whether they're actually going to the cart and buying something. So we would need. We do have their numbers registered in the system, so ideally down the road we'd be able to push out like a 2 or 3 question text message survey and ask them if they bought anything over the last week, but we haven't gotten there yet. I'd have to find more research funding. I mean, it's very tough to break through. I think. Oh yeah, I'll repeat the question. Since there are so many apps and different things available out on the market, and how do you raise awareness of the particular application? I mean, really, we've been doing it through these cooking demonstrations, and it's not necessarily the best way to get to people. I think one of the struggles with the program is that they had a lot of funding to get the program up and running, but the funding's kind of over, and so it's supposed to be self-perpetuating as far as the city's concerned. And not a lot of money for direct advertising. So it's not like there was blanket advertising on bus shelters for people to go and shop at green carts. And the problem is they can't really give out a list of, like, this is where the carts are, because the vendors move. So it's very challenging. I think the going out to community-based organizations will be a good opportunity, and we're also hoping to move into some of the high schools that we have relationships with also that we do health education.
Did you do anything like comparisons between the costs of items at the cards versus a bag of potato chips at the local store to see how that worked out, whether it was less expensive to get a bag of potato chips versus an apple at the card?
Sure. I mean, that's sort of like outside the scope of this project, but I think the carts are definitely cheaper than even the supermarkets in the area for produce. I can't say how it compares, you know, pound to pound or serving to serving for like an apple versus a bag of chips. My colleague who worked on the map analysis with me, Sean Lucan, has done more of that work in terms of inventory, so he might have an answer for that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's enough traffic on the site to be able to say that that we're having any impact on their sales yet. So I mean, we have talked, like the students that I have out canvassing and registering them, they get informal information from them, and then one of my colleagues has done more formal evaluation. You can also, interrupted time series analysis is also a good method because you can do daily sales figures for them and just have them keep a record of how much money they're bringing in every day and then see whether it changes when you implement a promotional activity. So, all right, thanks very much.